You know her, you absolutely love her, maybe as the fiercely loyal, no-nonsense Ruby Hill from Good Girls.
Right. Always ready with that witty comeback, but also that real heart.
Exactly. Or maybe you know her even better as the iconic total scene stealer Donna Meagle from Parks and Recreation.
Oh, the queen of treat yourself.
Yes. Taught us all about self-care, preferably, with massages and maybe some new rims.
Luxury.
But what if we told you that before all that, before she was making us laugh until we cried, this amazing comedic talent was actually a pre-med student at Duke University?
And not just that, she then actually worked as a chemist.
Get out of here, a chemist!
It's true. One of those surprising facts that just makes you rethink someone's whole journey, you know? Like
Totally.
we see these public figures, we think we know their story, but then you dig a little deeper, and wow, there are these fascinating layers.
Okay, so that's our mission today, right?
But that's it. We're going to peel back those layers on the unexpected and honestly incredibly inspiring life of Marietta Sangai-Sirleaf.
Known professionally, of course, as Retta.
The one and only.
That's right. So we're going to explore how she navigated this path, this wild journey from the super precise analytical world of science
Yeah, labs and formulas.
to the spontaneous, sometimes totally chaotic stage of comedy and acting.
It's quite the leap.
We'll dig into the unique experiences, the choices she made that shaped this incredible, multifaceted career, and really show how this isn't just like a list of roles she played.
No, not at all. It's really a testament, I think, to the courage it takes to pivot, to follow your passion.
Even when it takes you down some really surprising roads, exhilarating maybe.
Definitely exhilarating. And sometimes, as we'll find out, maybe even a little bit nauseating roads.
Okay, I'm intrigued by that.
Indeed. So get ready because we're going to discover her surprising Liberian family ties. And this connection, it goes right to the top, like national leadership level. We'll also delve into how her church community, this global network, literally rallied to vote for her in an early contest, helped kickstart things.
No way.
And we'll uncover the delightful kind of double secret behind her stage name, Retta.
Ooh, a double secret. Love it.
And maybe most importantly, we'll explore the sheer grit, the vulnerability it took for her to overcome really intense stage fright.
The nauseating part.
That's the one. To become the comedic powerhouse she is today, it's a journey just packed with aha moments and, well, just so much personality.
It really leaps out at you, doesn't it? Okay, let's dive straight in though.
Let's do it.
We're starting this deep dive right at the beginning, tracing that unlikely path from like aspiring doctor to celebrated performer, pre-med to
It's
punchlines.
a huge transition.
And it really hints at this core adaptability, I think, that defines her whole career.
Absolutely. And to really get it, you have to go back to her roots. So she was born Marietta Sangai-Sirleaf, April 12, 1970, in Newark, New Jersey.
Okay, Jersey girl.
But her heritage immediately stands out. She's of Liberian descent. And this isn't just, a cultural background thing. It connects her to some pretty significant global figures. For instance, her aunt by marriage, get this, is the former Liberian president, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf.
Wait, the Ellen Johnson Sirleaf? Nobel Peace Prize winner.
That's the one, a Nobel laureate. It's a remarkable piece of her personal history, this thread of international statesmanship just woven into her family tapestry.
That is incredible.
Yeah, most people probably have no idea. And it provides this fascinating backdrop to her upbringing.
That adds such a layer of, I don't know, unexpected gravitas, doesn't it?
It really does.
But geographically, her formative years were really rooted in the Garden State. She grew up mostly in Edison and then the Cliffwood Beach section of Aberdeen Township, also New Jersey. She went to Matawan Regional High School, graduated in 88. And it's a part of her background she talks about, actually. So it made her a little bit ballsier, a little more outspoken.
You can totally hear that. That New Jersey directness, that wit, it shines through in her comedy and her characters.
Definitely. It seems like the early environment kind of fostered that resilience, that unapologetic voice.
And that Jersey grit, that outspokenness, it probably served her incredibly well, especially when you think about her academic journey.
Okay, so Duke.
Yes. In 1992, she graduated from Duke University down in Durham, North Carolina. But what's really intriguing about her early years there is her initial plan. She was pre-med.
Pre-med.
Think about that. Pre-med is like one of the most structured, demanding, intensely competitive paths you can take, where
Totally. High pressure.
often seen as this direct pipeline to a very specific high-stakes profession, medicine. Yet she ultimately graduated with a Bachelor of Arts degree in sociology.
Okay, see, this is where it gets really interesting for me.
Right.
That academic pivot from the scientific rigor, the sort of black and white answers maybe of pre-med, to the broader, more human-focused lens of sociology. That suggests something pretty profound about her character, doesn't it?
I think so. It hints at this underlying curiosity, maybe a willingness to explore different fields.
And maybe an early clue that her interests were more in, like, understanding people and how society works rather than just cellular structures.
Exactly. And for me, that's such a powerful precursor to the massive career shift she makes later on.
Yeah. I mean, how many of us started down one path, totally clear, future mapped out, or so we thought, only to find ourselves pulled towards something completely different, something that just resonates more deeply.
It happens all the time.
Her ability to just embrace that change, even at a place like Duke, suggests this foundational adaptability and maybe real self-awareness that would define her whole professional life.
That's an excellent point. It wasn't just like, oh, I'll change my major. It feels more like a fundamental rethink of her interests and strengths.
Right.
Because, you know, medicine focuses on the individual body, the pathology. Yeah. Sociology trains you to see the individual within the bigger picture, the social system.
Observing interactions, power dynamics.
All of it. Nuances.
Yeah.
And for a budding comedian and actress, that is pure gold.
Oh, absolutely.
It gives you this rich tapestry of human experience to draw from. It makes her humor often so relatable because she kind of gets the why behind people's quirks, their actions, how we all interact.
Yeah.
So that willingness to explore different intellectual landscapes, it definitely prepared her for the unpredictable, very human-centric world of entertainment.
Okay, so she's got this robust academic foundation, a blend of science discipline, sociological insight, you'd think maybe career in academia,
right.
Or maybe even circle back to medicine somehow.
You might think, but there was something else going on, something equally foundational, I think, that gave her this early, really powerful validation of her comedic talent.
Which was?
Her faith and her community.
Okay. Tell me more.
This is a really unique, kind of heartwarming part of her story.
Huh.
Retta was raised in the New Apostolic Church.
Okay.
And within her church's youth group, apparently, her talent for making people laugh was already a huge asset.
Yeah.
It was recognized, appreciated, nurtured right there in her immediate community.
Like a safe space to try things out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A place where those natural comedic leanings could first pop up and be celebrated.
And this wasn't just like the local church congregation cheering her on.
Oh no, this is where it gets wild. This is a genuinely global story.
Yeah.
There was this pivotal moment, right? She competed in her very first TV comedy contest.
Okay.
And something extraordinary happened.
Uh-huh.
Members from all over the world from the New Apostolic Church rallied around her.
You're kidding.
Nope. They voted for her like crazy, leveraging their whole international network, this collective global support. It significantly helped her win that contest.
Wow.
And crucially, played this direct, undeniable role in pushing her career forward, giving her that first big, impactful public exposure.
That's incredible. So it wasn't just her talent alone.
No, it was her talent plus this deeply rooted interconnected network that gave her a crucial, maybe even monumental push.
Mm.
And she talked about it too. She openly mentioned her faith, her upbringing during that contest, showed how integral it was to who she was, even right at the start of her public life.
Imagine getting that kind of validation, not just from friends and family, but from like a worldwide community.
Right. It bypasses all that usual self-doubt, the isolation you often hear about from struggling artists.
Yeah.
Instead, you get this profound sense of external validation of purpose. It's like they were saying, we see your gift, we believe in it, we're going to help push you forward.
That's an immense psychological advantage, isn't it? Especially in a field like comedy, which is known for rejection.
Absolutely. It gave her this incredible momentum to really launch herself, backed by this collective belief.
It sounds so powerful. That early, broad validation coming from such a personal and global community, it must have had a huge impact on her confidence.
You have to think so.
To pursue such an unconventional career path, it wasn't just winning a talent show. It was like a victory amplified by this huge community that saw her gift.
Mm-hmm. It must have instilled this incredible sense of purpose, this belief that, okay, maybe this crazy path is the right one for me.
Even if it was the path less traveled, it really feels like a foundation, doesn't it? A bedrock she built on to find the courage for that next big pivot.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right.
So, okay, She's got strong academic background, that fascinating mix of science and sociology, and this incredibly powerful early endorsement from her global community. So what made her take that massive, seemingly impossible leap into the unpredictable, often brutal world of stand-up comedy?
Especially when, on paper, her life seemed headed elsewhere.
Exactly. That's what we're diving into next, the courageous pivot. We're moving now into the heart of our deep dive. The courageous pivot. This is where Retta's story gets even more surprising, even more inspiring, I think. We're talking about her journey from working as a chemist by day.
Still can't quite picture it.
To becoming a comedian by night. No, that's not like the setup for a joke. That was her actual life for a while.
It's genuinely remarkable. So after Duke, with that sociology degree, which was already a pivot, right?
From pre-med.
And even after being pre-med, she actually went on to work as a chemist. This fact just consistently surprises fans who know her for those vibrant, charismatic, comedic roles.
Totally. It's a career path that, just on the surface, feels like the polar opposite of where she ended up. Creates this incredible dichotomy in her early professional life.
Think about that contrast for a second. You're in a lab, presumably working with exacting precision, following complex formulas, controlled experiments.
Very methodical, repeatable outcomes, objective data.
Right. A world of careful methodology. But then in her spare time, this same meticulous chemist was moonlighting, getting up on stage.
She was doing stand-up comedy at Charlie Goodnight's Comedy Club in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Charlie Goodnight's. I mean, that name itself just evokes that classic, intimate comic club vibe, doesn't it?
Totally. Where legends cut their teeth. Future stars hone their craft. Sticky floors, maybe.
Huh, probably. But it's a tangible detail, right? Yeah. It grounds her humble beginnings in a very specific kind of iconic setting.
Yeah, and this contrast is just fascinating to explore. The methodical, precise, often solitary world of chemistry.
Where variables are controlled, outcomes ideally predictable, calculable stakes.
Versus the spontaneous, often chaotic, deeply interactive world of stand-up, where you're constantly reading a live audience, adapting to their energy.
Dealing with immediate human responses, or maybe worse, silence.
Right. What kind of internal drive does that take? To work a demanding science job all day, and then at night, brave that stage, put yourself out there for immediate judgment, laughter, silence, whatever comes.
It speaks to an incredible, undeniable passion. Just simmering under the surface, doesn't it?
A calling.
Yeah, a calling that just couldn't be ignored, even if it meant leading this kind of double life for a while.
I think so many of us can relate to that feeling, that internal tug of war. You know, pursuing hobbies or side hustles that eventually grow and maybe eclipse our main, more conventional careers.
Yeah.
Retta's story is such a compelling example of that brave transition, taking that leap of faith, following where her heart truly led, even when it seemed completely illogical on paper.
It's not just changing jobs. It's like a profound shift in identity. Shedding one skin for another that just felt more authentic, maybe.
Exactly.
And that leap, especially the big move to Los Angeles, it wasn't without some significant, really gut-wrenching challenges. This was not an overnight success story at all.
That's absolutely right. Eventually, she made that huge life-altering decision, packed up, moved to LA, the Mecca, right, to pursue comedy full-time.
Big move.
She started doing stand-up professionally in 1996. But here's a really sobering, very humanizing detail. She shared, very candidly, that she didn't start actually earning money from it until 1998.
2 years later.
Two full years, when she started touring the college circuit. Think about that. 2 years of grinding, facing the tough realities of the stand-up scene, fueled purely by passion, by belief, without a steady paycheck from it. That's just profound dedication.
It really speaks to the sheer grit, the resilience, the vulnerability you need in stand-up. It's a notoriously tough business, steep learning curve, high burnout rate.
For sure.
And Retta shared another very human, very relatable detail about that time. She used to get really nauseated before every single performance.
Oh, wow. Physically ill.
Yeah. She described it as a feeling that only passed with experience, which implies, you know, years of battling this intense physical anxiety every time she had to step into the spotlight.
Imagine that. Feeling sick every time you go on stage, but pushing through anyway.
Right.
Night after night.
And doing it for 2 years before even seeing consistent financial returns. It just completely humanizes that often glamorized image of the comedian.
Totally.
Reminds us it takes immense endurance, raw courage, and just a willingness to face that fear head on to make it in such a competitive, emotionally draining field. It's a powerful lesson in perseverance.
It really is a lesson in trusting the process, right? Believing in yourself, even when your body is basically screaming, run away. So beyond the nerves, there was also this conscious kind of strategic decision she made about how she'd present herself to the world, which is critical, right? Crafting that memorable, authentic stage persona.
Absolutely. And what's fascinating is how strategic and insightful she was about personal branding, even back then, in the early days.
How so?
Well, she decided early on to just call herself Retta professionally.
Right.
Instead of constantly explaining her full, longer given name, Marietta Sangai Sirleaf.
Ah, smart. Easier to remember.
Exactly. For the audience, for industry folks, it creates a more direct, approachable, instantly recognizable connection. It's like saying, here I am, just me, Retta.
Yeah, I like that. And her material itself was obviously key to forging that connection, too.
Definitely. She describes her stand-up as, quote, slightly embellished stories from her regular everyday life, drawing from family, friends.
And relatable stuff. Authentic, but with that comedic twist, that exaggeration.
Right. It makes the jokes land because there's a core truth there, even if the details are heightened for laughs. It's not abstract humor. It's grounded in shared human experience.
You feel like you know the people she's talking about, even if they're, you know, slightly larger than life in her telling.
Precisely. And this combination, the accessible name, the authentic, relatable storytelling drawn from her own life, it likely contributed hugely to her early success. Her ability to connect with different audiences.
Made her accessible, invited people into her world, even if it was, like you said, through a slightly funhouse mirror lens.
Yeah. It shows this deep, intuitive understanding of what makes people laugh, what makes them feel connected to a performer, that shared experience, that recognition. She built a brand that was both memorable and deeply personal.
Okay, so she's got this budding persona, a clear vision for her material, and just the sheer tenacity to push through the fear, the financial uncertainty. She really started paying her dues on the circuit, right? Her early career was this mosaic of gigs, each one a vital stepping stone, building experience, building visibility.
Absolutely. Before those true breakout roles, she worked diligently, took every chance to perform, gain that invaluable experience in all sorts of settings.
Like opening for established comics.
Exactly. She served as an opening act for people like Shirley Hemphill and Bobby Collins, which is huge, right? Learning from seasoned pros, watching their stagecraft, honing her own timing in front of bigger crowds. Those early interactions are just crucial for development.
And her early TV appearances were super varied too, weren't they? Showed her willingness to jump into different formats, prove her versatility.
Totally. She popped up on Bravo's Welcome to the Parker, Ease the Soup, which was huge for pop culture commentary back then.
Oh yeah, The Soup.
Sitcoms like Freddie, Moshe. She even had that memorable little role as a hardware store clerk in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Which, if you know Sunny, is like perfect casting for a unique comedic voice.
Right. And she was in the Comedy Divas Showcase on The Jenny Jones Show, performed on Premium Blend on Comedy Central. That show specifically featured up-and-comers.
Wow, that's quite a list.
And it's not just like bullet points on a resume. It's a real testament to the breadth of her foundational experience, her relentless pursuit of opportunities.
These were the building blocks.
Exactly. The essential building blocks of her career. Each appearance, big or small, added to her repertoire, broadened her network, got her ready for the bigger stages ahead. She was actively constructing the scaffolding for her future success.
Those early gigs were clearly vital, shaping her craft, getting her noticed. But it was one specific NBC comedy series. One that actually started off with kind of lukewarm reviews that would really launch her into the national spotlight, transform her from a working comedian into, well, a household name.
And that's where our journey takes us next.
Yes, indeed. Okay, we are now diving into section three of our deep dive, the breakthrough. This is that pivotal moment where Retta goes from being this promising talent, you know, diligently paying her dues.
Working the circuit.
To a genuine scene stealer. Thanks, of course, to a little show called Parks and Recreation.
Ah, Pawnee, yes. In 2009, Retta started making regular guest appearances on Parks and Rec as Donna Meagle.
Treat yourself.
The one and only. An employee in the Parks Department in fictional Pawnee, Indiana. And initially, she was kind of hovering in the background, right?
Yeah, she wasn't a main character at first.
And what's particularly interesting here is that the show itself, Parks and Rec, had a bit of a shaky start. It struggled to find its voice, find its audience in that first season.
That's absolutely true. I remember reading, she actually said during a stand-up set that the job was initially quite stressful because of that uncertainty. Like, would the show even last? Especially with those less than stellar reviews it got early on.
Right. It just goes to show, even when you land a major network gig, which is huge, success, stability, it's not always guaranteed right out of the gate.
No kidding. Always that apprehension in creative fields.
But here's where the resilience, the adaptability of both the show and the actor really shine.
Yeah.
Alan Sepinwall, the TV columnist.
Great critic.
Yeah, really respected. He astutely noted that by season two, the episode started giving more personality and funnier jokes to Donna and other minor characters.
Ah, so they started writing more for her.
Exactly. The subtle but really significant shift allowed Retta to truly inhabit the role, to infuse Donna with her unique comedic voice, her strong personality.
And that's when Donna really started to pop, right? Her brand of confident, no-nonsense humor.
And that luxurious treat-yourself lifestyle.
It just started to blossom and totally capture the audience's imagination.
And blossom she did. Her undeniable talent, combined with Donna's growing popularity and the writers recognizing what they had,
Yeah.
it led to her being upgraded. Full-time regular cast member in season three.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, she was credited right after the opening titles for seasons three, four, five, and then by season six and seven, boom,
Yeah.
main character. Right there in the opening title sequence with the core cast.
What a great ascent. Totally well earned, reflecting the impact she clearly had.
It's such a classic Hollywood story, really, but rich with lessons, you know, perseverance, the power of a strong ensemble. You have a show struggling a bit, finding its feet, a character quietly gaining traction, an actor's hard work, their unique timing, their charm, just paying off massively.
Highlights the value of patience, too, right? And how a show can evolve, find its voice, often through the strength and chemistry of its cast.
Exactly. It reminds us that even if something starts with a whimper, with time and talent, it can grow into something truly beloved, iconic.
Yeah. I mean, who hasn't been involved in a project that started slow, needed nurturing, but eventually grew into something amazing, really impactful?
Retta's journey with Parks and Rec just embodies that perfectly.
So, with Donna Meagle basically becoming a household name and Retta proving her incredible comedic chops,
Yeah, undeniable.
she started to strategically diversify her portfolio, didn't she? Proving she was way more than just a comedic genius. She could bring depth, nuance, real emotion to different roles.
Absolutely. Moving seamlessly between comedy and drama.
Okay, like what?
Well, in 2018, she co-starred in another really well-regarded NBC series, Good Girls.
Ah, yes. With Christina Hendricks and Mae Whitman. Love that show.
Right, as Ruby Hill. And that role, which she had until 2021, was super significant because it showcased a dramatically different side of her acting.
More serious stakes sometimes.
Healthily. It allowed her to blend her natural comedic timing with real dramatic tension, emotional depth, dealing with very serious high-stakes situations. It was a true testament to her range.
And it wasn't just Good Girls, right? She did other roles that stretched her dramatically.
Yeah, she had that significant recurring role as Barbara in Bravo's Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce from 2015 to 2018.
Okay.
And she eventually became a main cast member there too, seasons three to five. Another role that required more nuanced, character-driven performances.
And more recently.
2023, she appeared as herself on The Morning Show, which is kind of a cool meta thing.
Yeah.
And then 2024, 2025, she took on the role of Margot Clark in a couple of episodes of Elsbeth. So still very much in demand in scripted TV.
Okay, and what about film? Because I feel like I've seen her pop up in movies too.
Oh, her filmography is just as extensive, just as diverse, really shows her ability to jump genres.
Like what?
Well, besides her big TV stuff, she was in Fracture back in 2007, that legal thriller.
Oh, right. With Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah, First Sunday in 2008, a comedy. She lent her talents to family films like Alvin and the Chipmunks. The Road Chip in 2015 played a party planner.
Oh, okay.
Grounded comedic roles in middle school. The Worst Years of My Life in 2016 as Ida Stricker. More recently, she brought that unique energy to Good Boys in 2019 as Lucas's mom.
She was great in that.
And she even appeared as herself in the star-studded 80 for Brady in 2023.
That's quite a range.
It really is. These aren't just, you know, random parts. They're moments that have built her incredible range, shown she can adapt to different directors, different tones, different character demands, broad comedy, subtle drama. She can do it.
And voice acting too, right? Which is
Yeah.
a totally different skill set. Conveying everything just with your voice.
Totally different. And she's done a ton of it. She voiced a mystical harp in DuckTales from 2020 to 21, Mrs. Malinky and Pinged Malinky in 2019.
A mystical harp. Love it.
Wizard Nightingale and Where's Waldo? Duke's mother and Big Mouth.
Oh, Big Mouth. Okay.
Yeah. Voiced a character in Tuca and Birdie in 2022. Oh, and adding another layer. She narrated the audiobook for Welcome to Night Vale back in 2015. Voiced Old Woman Josie.
No way. That's awesome. Huh. What an incredible range. Truly a master of her craft across all these different mediums.
This impressive, diverse list just really demonstrates her ability to transition seamlessly, right?
Yeah.
Comedy, drama, live action voice.
Yeah.
Ruby Hill, in Good Girls, for instance, often required that deeper emotional range, more intense character work than maybe Donna Meikle did, showcased her significant growth as an actress beyond just landing punchlines.
Mm-hmm.
Her extensive film and voice work just underscore her remarkable adaptability, her consistent demand in the industry, her deep versatility. She wasn't just, you know, pigeonholed as one type of character. She became this in-demand, highly versatile talent.
And the industry definitely noticed that talent, right? Went beyond just casting her.
Oh, yeah. Her performance in that indie web series, Vampire Mob, that earned her a Best Supporting Actress comedy nomination way back at the third Indie Soap Awards in late 2011. An early nod.
Nice.
She also hosted the third Critics' Choice Television Awards in 2013, proving her charisma just as herself.
Yes.
Outside of a character.
Right.
And she was a contestant on Hollywood Game Night in 2014, showcasing her personality again.
So yeah, from character actor to leading roles, even hosting, Retta was clearly building this powerful, recognizable brand, which, as you said, she'd expand even further into unscripted TV and writing, showing her full scope as an entertainer.
Exactly. The multi-hyphenate emerges.
We've seen Retta conquer the scripted world, right? Leaving this indelible mark on TV and film. But now we're moving into section four, exploring how she truly became this multi-hyphenate.
Yeah.
A beloved host, a published writer, a significant player in the industry, going way beyond those initial acting accolades.
And this expansion into hosting unscripted stuff.
Mm.
It's such a natural fit, frankly. A brilliant fit for her personality, her comedic timing.
Seems perfect for her.
Her ability to just connect directly with an audience, more informally, but still incredibly entertaining. That's been key to her appeal.
So HGTV.
Yes. In 2022, Retta started hosting Ugliest House in America on HGTV, led seasons 1 through 5. And it proved to be super popular. Audiences loved her genuine reactions, her witty commentary as she toured some truly questionable homes.
Ah, I bet. Her reactions alone must be worth tuning in for.
Oh, totally. And she's not stopping there. Building on that success, she's set to host Scariest House in America starting in 2024.
Ooh, okay. Scariest House.
Yeah.
That sounds like another perfect vehicle for her unique perspective, her infectious enthusiasm.
Right. Her ability to find humor and genuine personality in, let's say, aesthetically challenged or spookily designed houses. It says a lot about her ability to make any topic enjoyable.
She brings this fresh, relatable energy, doesn't she? Makes you feel like you're exploring these places right alongside her, reacting to every weird design choice or creepy shadow.
Exactly. And this savvy move into lifestyle reality hosting, it solidifies her status as a truly versatile TV personality. Not just an actress in scripted roles.
Broadens her appeal.
Massively.
Mm-hmm.
It capitalizes brilliantly on her innate charisma, her proven ability to make any topic captivating. We've all seen shows that take a simple premise and make it engaging, right?
Mm-hmm.
Retta's involvement definitely adds that special spark, elevates the material beyond just, you know, house tours. It's a strategic expansion, strengthens her brand significantly, shows her as this dynamic presence who can carry a show just on her personality.
And beyond the screen, she's also shared her story in a really personal way, right?
Yeah.
As an author, cementing her status as someone who isn't afraid to open up about her own journey.
Yes. In 2018, she published a series of essays in her book. The title is fantastic.
Yes.
So close to being the shut, y'all don't even know.
Love it.
And this book, it offers this fascinating, really intimate window into her experiences beyond the characters she plays. Delves into deeply personal topics.
Like what?
Well, she discusses her journey with weight loss alongside her bestie, touching on body image, self-acceptance, and she shares these candid insights into the, quote, joys and adventures of being in the Hollywood scene.
So not just the glamour.
No, it's not just a tell-all. It's reflective, honest, looks at the realities of her life.
Writing a book like that, essays, it takes immense vulnerability, doesn't it? A willingness to be completely open with your audience.
Absolutely.
It really shows her commitment to connecting with fans on a more intimate level,
mm-hmm.
talking about body image, friendship, the real side of Hollywood, not just the facade.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like a powerful extension of that authentic storytelling from her stand-up days, but maybe with a deeper, more reflective, sometimes poignant tone.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it. It further solidifies her as this voice beyond her characters, a person with wisdom, with experiences to share.
And the industry itself has obviously recognized her value beyond just specific roles.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. In 2022, Retta signed a talent-holding deal with NBC Universal.
Okay, what does that mean exactly? A talent-holding deal?
It's a significant commitment.
Yeah.
A major vote of confidence from the network.
Yeah.
It basically indicates their long-term investment in her talent, her potential across various projects within their whole ecosystem.
So not just for one specific show.
Right. It signifies her value not just for roles they might have in mind, but as a broader brand, a versatile talent within the entire NBC Universal family. Shows her commercial appeal, her perceived longevity. It's a clear statement. She is a sought-after, valuable asset.
Wow. Her career really is this vibrant, intricate tapestry, isn't it? Woven with threads of academic rigor, that powerful community support, incredible personal resilience, and just this unwavering, infectious commitment to her craft, always infused with that unmistakable, larger-than-life personality.
But as we know, right, it's often the personal insights, the surprising connections that truly make someone's story unforgettable. Add those final compelling brushstrokes to the portrait.
Totally agree. Okay, let's get into those. All right, for our final section, we're venturing beyond the bright lights of Hollywood, exploring some personal connections, some surprising facts that just add even more richness, more depth, maybe some delightful quirkiness to Retta's incredible story.
Okay, I'm ready for the quirky.
Well, as we touched on earlier in our deep dive, one of the most unexpected, most compelling facts about Retta's family background.
The Liberian connection.
Exactly. Her connection to former Liberian president Ellen Johnson Sirleaf. She's her niece by marriage.
And just to reiterate, this isn't just like a distant relative.
Hmm.
Ellen Johnson Sirleaf is a Nobel Peace Prize laureate, the first elected female head of state in Africa.
It's huge.
It adds this unexpected layer of gravitas, of historical significance to Retta's heritage, links her not just to entertainment, but to major global political humanitarian achievements.
It's a remarkable detail. It really showcases a different, maybe more serious facet of her ancestry. Gives this rich, layered context to who she is.
It really does. It's certainly not what you'd typically expect from the hilarious woman who gave us Donna Meagle.
Right. And speaking of family, or maybe perceived family, there's that common misconception she's had to, like, humorously but firmly clear up.
Ah, the genuine thing.
Yes. Despite persistent public confusion, Retta is not the cousin of the R&B singer Genuine.
Right. And she actually felt the need to clarify it, even mentioned it in her book, noting it was literally a plot point in a TV show that led to this whole mix-up.
That's wild. Fascinating how easily fictional narratives can just blur into perceived reality, right? Especially now with viral info, online chatter.
Totally. This genuine confusion, it kind of highlights, in a funny way, how easily stories get distorted, how fictional plot points can somehow become facts in the public mind. It underscores why public figures sometimes need to step in and clarify details of their personal lives, set the record straight, even on seemingly trivial stuff, just to maintain their own authentic story.
It's a very human moment in a very public career, isn't it? Reminds us that even celebrities deal with weird internet rumors, have to correct the family tree sometimes.
Exactly.
Okay, so moving from intriguing family ties and public misconceptions to deeply personal passions, Retta has this really enthusiastic, almost obsessive love for a particular sport that might surprise some people.
Oh, I think I know this one. Hockey.
Yes. She is a passionate, fervent fan of the Los Angeles Kings hockey team.
Go Kings, go.
Exactly. Her dedication is more than just casual fandom. It's this intense, loyal commitment. It actually led her to present awards at the NHL award ceremonies in Vegas, both in 2014 and 2015.
Wow, that's serious fandom.
Right. And this kind of deep personal interest, totally outside her acting work, it just makes her incredibly relatable, I think. Endearing. Yeah,
totally. It shows this genuine, unmanufactured part of her personality. Proves that even with all the fame, she's still a real person with real passions, just like us. Gets intensely invested in her favorite team.
Yeah. And finally, let's circle back to her professional name, Retta.
Yeah.
We talked about how she adopted it professionally. Simplify things, avoid explaining Marietta Sangai Sirleaf all the time.
Mm-hmm. Smart branding move.
But there's this charming, alternative, completely serendipitous origin story she shared on NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Oh, yeah. What is it?
She revealed that a man she dated, who was from Georgia, nicknamed her Retta, simply because her given name, Marietta, sounded like where he came from. Marietta, Georgia.
Oh, wait, that's it.
That's the story she told. It's such a casual, sweet, kind of random way for such a significant part of her public identity to have emerged.
That is such a fun, quirky detail. I love it. It gives this lovely personal anecdote behind the professional name, reveals this serendipitous, almost accidental origin that came even before her intentional career branding. Mm. And these kinds of personal touches, her love of hockey, the charming story behind the nickname, they're what make her so relatable. They offer these genuine, unfiltered glimpses into her life outside the roles, reinforce that authentic, larger-than-life personality we adore.
Yeah.
How do these seemingly small personal touches contribute to a celebrity's enduring appeal, their connection with the audience?
Mm-hmm.
I think they build a more complete, three-dimensional picture of the person behind the persona, make her feel even more real, more accessible, and ultimately more cherished by us. It's that authenticity, I think, that really cements her place in our hearts.
I totally agree. That realness, that authenticity, it's truly so much of her enduring charm and appeal.
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay. We have truly taken a comprehensive deep dive into Retta's incredible journey today.
We really covered a lot of ground.
Tracing her path all the way from pre-med student and chemist.
Still amazing.
Celebrated stand-up comic, iconic TV actress, popular HGTV host, and wonderfully candid published author. Her story is just this vibrant, intricate tapestry, right? Woven with academic rigor, community support, incredible resilience.
Mm-hmm. And that unwavering, infectious commitment to her craft, always infused with that unmistakable Retta personality.
Totally. And her career, it's such a powerful reminder, isn't it, that our initial plans, they're often just starting points, springboards maybe, not rigid destinations.
That's so true. It's in the courage to pivot, to embrace uncertainty, to push through those moments of, well, physical nausea and self-doubt, and to infuse our unique personality, our authentic voice into everything we do, that true and lasting success is often found.
She really shows us that even when you're feeling physically nauseated by the challenge, like she was in her early stand-up days, experience, authenticity, and maybe a healthy dose of that New Jersey ballsiness can absolutely lead to extraordinary achievements in a career that's both impactful and deeply fulfilling.
Well said. So, we've seen how Retta turned her distinct voice, her everyday observations, sometimes slightly embellished, right?
Right.
And her sheer force of personality into this celebrated multi-hyphenate career. It makes you wonder, doesn't it?
What's that?
What's one aspect of your own life, your own personality, that maybe you're underestimating? That could be the secret ingredient to your next big adventure, your next deep dive into a new passion. Just waiting to be explored.
Ooh, that's a great thought to end on. Something for all of us to think about.
Until next time.